Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As we welcome back the one, the only Kevin D. Randall, except no substitutes, of the Paracast, I was thinking of a couple of things I want to bring up before we get into the meat of this discussion. This might just be the potatoes or the tapioca pudding here. So, week or two back, I was mentioning the sci-fi cult show Farscape. That, of course, it ended after four seasons with a big cliffhanger. And then the following year, they came out with a two-part miniseries, Farscape, The Peacekeeper Wars. Now, I had been watching Farscape on Amazon Prime, and I made a mistake saying that The Peacekeeper Wars was not available free as the main show. It was available if you bought the download. That's not true. It turns out episodes 23 and 24 of season 4 include the Peacekeeper Wars that resolve the story. Does anyone care?
I certainly don't.
Okay.
I think it's all fun and interesting, but I've never seen that series, and I keep meaning to, but it's just one I've never gotten around to check out.
Well, it made cult favorites of Ben Browder and Claudia Black. But the thing here is, if anyone cares.
I was going to say, they were in, oh, that's part of the Stargate universe, right?
They were in Stargate SG-1 for the final two seasons.
Yes.
Because Richard Dean Anderson decided to cut back on the show and give up his starring role, primarily to bring up his young daughter. That's a serious story. So they brought in Ben Browder and Claudia Black because they had finished the run on Farscape. And they had a built-in fan base.
Oh, okay. More science fiction that I didn't really need to know, I guess.
And then you mentioned, of course, something about the fact that you live in Iowa, which we mentioned, of course, is where Captain Kirk is from in Star Trek. And then you mentioned something, shall we say, anomalous. A scene in the J.J. Abrams Kelvin reboot of Star Trek from 2009.
I was going to say that J.J. Abrams, who knew nothing about Star Trek, apparently, doesn't understand it at all, has a scene where Kirk, as a young kid, has stolen a Corvette, and he drives it off a cliff in Iowa. And I was saying there's no place in Iowa that looks like that. Not to mention the fact that they recruit him out of a barn. He's going to get through Starfleet Academy in 3 years. I'm thinking, yeah, it's an academy, you dummy. It's not like a college where you can kind of load up your units and graduate early, that kind of thing. There was all kinds of things wrong with that whole Star Trek nonsense.
But, Kevin, it's a different universe. It's not this universe.
We have this entire Star Trek universe that we've built up over decades. And then they bring in J.J., I'm an idiot, Abrams, to screw the whole thing up. He doesn't understand the dynamics between Kirk and Spock and the other people. The military stuff they do on it is completely wrong, but I digress. I shouldn't go into that.
No, it's, you know, I have to agree with everything you're saying. But you know what? I love Star Trek anyway. And I really enjoyed the movie, even though, you know, I get what you're saying. But I still went to see it, and I still liked it.
You know something? I was watching it the other day. It's available free with commercials on Amazon Prime. And I wanted to just see what I thought about it. And I still had the same somewhat negative reactions, although I liked the film. The other one is to show the size of the Enterprise. They are constantly running in the scenes, back and forth. Look how big the Enterprise is. We have a big budget now because we're spending $200 million on this movie or something like that. And therefore, they had this procession of scenes that made no sense. Now, in terms of the casting, I thought it was pretty good, except that Zachary Quinto, who's a really good actor, I don't think he caught Spock. And you know that because you see the Spock Prime character played by Leonard Nimoy, and then you look at the way he approaches the role. And then you look at Zachary Quinto, and you see the difference. I don't have to describe it.
Well, if you want to talk about the ship, the thing that bothers me about the ships, and I watched that idiotic thing on CBS, Star Trek, the new Star Trek, whatever the hell it was.
Star Trek Discovery.
Yes, because it turns up on demand, I could watch the whole first season for free. I didn't have to pay for CBS Prime or whatever the hell they call it.
And it's now Paramount Plus.
Whatever. Anyhow, what bothered me about this, you've got a starship. You've got to fill it with oxygen. You've got all this space that they waste. They have the huge quarters for these low-ranking people. The hallways are just enormous. The plots are idiotic. And the first thing they do is the main character, she commits assault on the captain and mutiny. And, of course, they try her and court-martial her. And I'm thinking, great, that's the way it should be. And the next thing you know, at the end of the show, she's back in her position or a better position and everything else. I'm thinking, if I was a crew, I'd be gone. I'd quit. You're going to bring this idiot back? I'm out of here.
Well, remember, too, a lot of the people working with Star Trek are part of the J.J. Abrams bad robot crew. You know, if you look at the names of the people that Abrams had in some of his shows, in terms of his staff, Alias and Lost, and you think, wait a minute, these are the people who are now running Star Trek, which is that problem. I do think, though, that Gregory Peck's grandson, Ethan Peck, is a pretty decent young Spock.
The thing that bothers me about this, if you know anything about the military organizations, and they clearly do not, if you've assaulted your captain and committed mutiny, you're going to end up in jail, period, end of discussion. And there's nothing you can do to redeem yourself, and yet she does redeem herself and becomes back in the good graces and reinstated. So what does that tell you? Well, I can commit mutiny, I can punch out an officer I disagree with, and there's basically no consequence. We'll just continue on.
Well, look at the Captain Kirk character in the Star Trek reboot. Let's get to something totally different, okay?
You guys brought it up. I was just sitting here in all the comfort of Iowa, and you went to Kirk immediately.
Well, just think, though, that during the Corvette scene, the guy who was screaming about how James Kirk is handling his Corvette was played by Will Wheaton, Wesley Crusher from Star Trek Next Generation. So I think that's the only role he's had since that show went off.
He was in The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
As Wesley Crusher.
As
Will Wheaton, and there was a big fight between him and Sheldon because Sheldon had gone to a convention to get Will Wheaton's signature and it didn't happen or something. So Will Wheaton became his mortal enemy. So Will Wheaton shows up in The Big Bang Theory periodically.
Well, that's perfect. Exciting. If I ever watch that show, I have no interest in that show. And now all the people who watch The Big Bang Theory, who are fans of it, will now scream at me. But then they can just join the club. Let's talk about the UFO, flying saucer, UAP, UAO business. That's, you know, some of the acronyms used for flying saucer. Okay. I remember UAO from APRO from the 50s and 60s. They decided not to call them UFO. And now, of course, we have UAP. So we can't have UFO anymore. Therefore, we have UAP.
Well, wait a minute. Who's dictating we can't have UFO anymore?
I don't know.
Kevin. I'm like, what? You know, and Jerome Clark is with us, too, by the way. You know,
if I want to call it a UFO, by God, I'm going to do it.
I'll call it a flying. How about a flying saucer, folks? Let's go back to flying saucer.
Hey.
I think Stan Friedman, Don Schmidt, and I started years ago using the term flying saucer when we meant alien spacecraft as opposed to UFO, which could be an alien spacecraft or something else. And I'm all for that as well. Let's go back to flying saucer.
You know what? Let's do a poll at the Paracast Forum. Would you prefer to go back to flying saucer? Kevin D. Randall is joining us this week, as you see. heck of a lot to talk about, and not just sci-fi trivia, although that's fun. We could do that for hours. With Gene and with Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis, and that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So we have two Randalls here. We have the guy with Randall as his middle name and the guy with Randall as his last name. But then we've had shows with two Chris's, so it gets to be more confusing. Let's get into a couple of columns you wrote at a different perspective, Kevin. But that takes us to this series of articles that started with the New York Times in 2017. And then the other day I saw this rather long article in the inimitable style of New Yorker magazine called How the Pentagon Started Taking UFOs Seriously. But then the beginning of the article, I don't know if you read it fully, Kevin, they start talking about Stephen Greer and his disclosure project. So I don't know what to think.
Well, the first thing we could say is the Pentagon originally took flying saucers, UFOs, seriously back in the 1940s. They're very serious about it. They didn't know what they were dealing with. They didn't know what was going on, and they were worried about what it meant to, I guess, the sovereignty of the United States if we have these things flying around our airspace and we can't do anything about it. So they were very serious about it until they realized that there was no imminent threat. And then they moved to another arena until we get into 1952 when we have the Washington National sightings, the sightings over Washington, D.C. on two consecutive Saturday nights, which ended up with the Robertson panel deciding there's nothing to it, there's no national security issue, and then the Pentagon began making fun of flying saucers and people who believed in them because, of course, as we know, everybody who sees a UFO, a flying saucer, is probably drunk, wearing bib overalls, and has three teeth.
Only that three teeth? What about four teeth? Right? So, wait a minute. If you don't wear overalls and have four teeth, you're wrong.
The implication is you're not well-educated.
I know that.
The real point is, if you look at the data, the better cases are those with the people who are highly educated, and they get a good look at the object, but that was not the direction they wanted to go. So we had this long period where the Pentagon was serious about UFOs, then they weren't serious about UFOs, and then they concocted the Condon Committee to get rid of UFOs. And now we're back to where the Pentagon is taking UFOs seriously, or apparently taking them seriously, but I think it's all Condon 2.0.
Or taking, like what we started with, taking UAP seriously. And really, are we talking about the same thing? Is some vague phenomena off in the distance that nobody really knows what it is the same as an alien craft off your starboard wing?
If you take a look at what's going on now, the Navy has released a number of videos. And I did it on my blog, an article about this, where a guy had attached his cell phone to a night vision device. And he was able to come up with the same kind of videos that the Navy released. And when the Navy says, well, these videos are authentic, they're not saying they're alien spacecraft. They're saying that these are videos taken by Navy personnel and we're releasing them. They're not saying anything about what it shows or what it purports to show. It's just that these are things that are in our possession. It's not quite the same thing. And people just misread that all the time. They don't look at the nuances. And that's kind of a problem we have throughout all of society now, where you don't look at the nuances, you look at a statement and then you react to that statement, not thinking that there is a nuance to it that you may not understand or you have not grasped at this point. And that's where we are, I think, with this UAP thing. They're saying, well, here's these videos that are authentic, and people say, Navy is admitting there are flying saucers. No, they're admitting that we have these anomalous objects that were captured by Navy personnel, but it doesn't mean the same thing as some people think it does. And what I'm saying, when I say it's Condon 2.0, we've got a situation where they're releasing this information, and pretty soon they're going to jerk the rug out from underneath us and say, well, we've discovered what these things are, and it doesn't have anything to do with alien spacecraft. And then we've taken steps backwards into the dark ages of ufology.
Well, when you question anyone concerned with the government for this Pentagon UAP task force, their primary goal is not to look for spaceships. It's to see whether the objects photographed and seen represent a threat to national security. So it could be drones or aircraft from Russia, China, Iran, or somewhere. It doesn't have to be spaceships. Off-world is not an issue, although we see hints from former Senator Harry Reid that he is somewhat focused in that direction.
But again, you look at what Harry Reid has said. He says, well, I think they've done this. I think we have this. But he hasn't seen any of it himself. You see the alien debris, and he said no.
Now, he's a former Senate Majority Leader. You think he'd have some access to intelligence. But what interests me more in terms of statements from government officials is not what a now-retired politician is saying. It is, if we go back, comments that say this should be investigated from two former CIA directors, Woolsey and Brennan. And where did that come from?
Well, what I'm saying, who cares? Because we go back into the 1960s and we had congressmen calling for investigation of UFOs, and finally Congress investigated UFOs for an entire day. There's been calls for congressional investigations and government oversight of this for literally decades. And one of the reasons for the Condon Committee was end that kind of discussion, be saying, well, we've had scientists look at this and they've discovered there's no national security issue, which turns out to be completely and totally bogus because the Condon Committee knew better. They were told to find out whether or not to say positive things about the Air Force investigation and that there would be nothing of a scientific value to continue the investigation. All the things that the Condon Committee did, all of the things that are completely bogus, because you do not do science by consensus. And there were UFO sightings, and I say UFO as opposed to flying saucers here. One of the sightings was identified as a natural phenomenon so rare it had never been seen before or since. And I'm thinking then there's something of scientific value to study this very rare natural phenomenon. When they said, well, there's no national security issue, one of their investigators actually ran up against national security when he was looking into the Belt Montana sightings of 1967, and that involves Malmstrom Air Force Base where the flight of missiles were shut down by an outside influence. And when he got to the point where the Condon Committee investigator was there, he asked about the missile shutdown, and Lewis Chase, who was a UFO officer, said, I can't talk about that. It's national security. And the guy said, well, I have a clearance. He says, it's not good enough. So they bumped right up against national security in a UFO sighting, and they said, well, there's no national security implication. The national security implication is, in fact, that an outside force was able to disable an entire flight of ballistic missiles. And the last thing you would want the Soviets to do, learn in 1967, is there was a way to, from outside, to shut down the missile flights. So that becomes a national security issue. So we run into this crap all the time, and it's they lead us in one direction and then take us into another direction, and everybody's saying, okay, well, that's, you know, scientists have said there's no such thing as flying saucers, so we must believe them.
You know, what's interesting here is the genesis of all this, and it started with that series of UFO stories in the New York Times and Politico going back to 2017. And that was talking about this project of which Luis Elizondo may or may not have headed. And that's where this began. But the question I'll ask, and we'll pick up on this in the next segment, before that, was there any demand for this at all? How did this come out of left field? We got more to come with Kevin Randall, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
India has seen its deadliest day since the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, recording nearly 4,200 deaths on Saturday. As a second wave of infections continues to sweep through the country, India is still averaging about 400,000 new infections and more than 3,500 deaths daily. Now there are worries that the variant of the virus being partially blamed for fueling that surge could take hold in the United States. But Andy Slavitt says there's reason to be confident in the available vaccine's ability to control that strain. The White House's senior advisor for the COVID response tells CNN that he's expecting data in the near future to show the vaccine's ability to protect against this new variant.
It looks like we're going to get very good levels of protection from our current vaccines. I think we'll see that confirmed over the coming week. But Americans should expect that if they're not vaccinated, they're going to be more exposed. If they are vaccinated, I think they can look at these variants, and there's going to be very good levels of protection so far.
You're listening to USA Radio News. On the heels of a worse-than-expected jobs report for April, many are looking for answers as to why the job market's recovery stalled. The economy added 266,000 jobs last month, nearly 700,000 fewer than projected. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has blamed extended federal unemployment benefits as the culprit, saying people are making the financial decision to stay home and get paid. Senator Mike Rounds agrees with that sentiment. The South Dakota Republican tells Fox News that there are businesses in his state trying to find workers.
Well, we've got a lot of businesses here in South Dakota that literally, they're looking for people to go to work. We're 2.9% unemployment right now. Our state is open for business. We need those folks to be able to come back to work again. When you add $300 per week on top of the regular state unemployment benefits, it means that a lot of those folks are just making the decision that it would be better if I just simply didn't go back to work.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So nobody asked for the disclosure of some kind of Pentagon UFO study about this thing that was spearheaded by former Senator Reid about Luis Elizondo. Nobody asked for it. Nobody cared. And suddenly out of left field, here it is in the New York Times. And suddenly we have all this that has risen from that. So why did this all start? Was it just Senator Reid trying to get some money for his friend Bob Bigelow to investigate something?
If I understand the history correctly, it seems that Bigelow Aerospace, is that the name of his corporation that's doing space research, was wanting to look at UFO reports because of the UFO. And I met Bob Bigelow. Heck, he and I drove out to Area 51 one night, bought KFC, ate the chicken at a picnic area near the little alien inn and that sort of thing. So I think that he had an interest in the UFOs, and his idea or his interest may have been that they seemed not to be flying in the conventional sense, meaning using aerodynamics to fly, but they have another system of propulsion. And if he could figure out that system of propulsion, then that moves him ahead in the aerospace industry. So it may be that he put a bug in Senator Reid's ear to kind of gather information about this. But the other thing we know is that there have been ongoing UFO investigations even after the end of Blue Book. We learned about this through any series of FOIA requests and FOIA release. And I'm thinking specifically of the mention of moon dust. And that had a definite UFO component to it. And once that code name was compromised, we're told that the project is properly classified, and they're not going to release any more information about it. And so it was compromised in 1985. In 1995, in the mid-1990s, we had the Air Force investigating the Roswell case again. which indicates an interest in UFOs is ongoing. So there have been these sorts of things going on. Then suddenly we learn in 2005, I think it was, they started another project with a funding of $22 million to look into UFO sightings. And I think they were looking for evidences or hints of the propulsion systems, how the propulsion systems work. And I can think of a number of ways of attempting to do that, especially if you can analyze the light being emitted by the UFOs. And it's not incandescent light, but it's something that is generated by the propulsion systems, which is something that we could discuss all day, I suppose, or looking at the electromagnetic effects, which is suggestive of some kind of a propulsion system or even a weapon system, then you find an interest in exploiting those sorts of things and gathering that data. Of course, you want to do it quietly because you don't want our competitors to know what we're looking for and what we're attempting to do.
Oh, by the way, Bigelow Aerospace laid off all its employees about a year ago. So I think the only matter that they're still working on is to get paid past due bill from NASA for over $1 million. That's what they're looking for. But at this point, it doesn't look like Bigelow is doing anything anymore.
Which is not to say he wasn't attempting to do something before, and his avenues of research may not have panned out. And they said, well, you know, why spend more money? We're not getting anywhere on this. Let's wait until we see what else is coming up. We need to follow a different avenue. When I was doing UFOs in the deep state, I was looking at all these kinds of things behind the scenes manipulation of the government and how it affects the UFO phenomenon. And it all comes down to power and retaining power and that sort of thing. So we're looking at the UFO phenomenon from that point of view, and that suggests a technology that is superior to anything that we have, and that might have been one of the reasons for kind of looking into this stuff to see if there was any kind of ongoing or imminent threat from the flying saucers.
Well, this, of course, is possibly part of the issue here, is except for some instances there, like Malmstrom and all that, we don't see any indication that UFOs or whatever you want to call them represent any threats.
We know about Malmstrom because it leaked out into the public arena through the Belt Montana sightings. But what else? Well, and Robert Hastings has done a book about everything that was going on with the atomic strike forces around the country, the atomic bases, and how they have been persistently surveyed by flying saucers. And we can take a look at the Rendlesham Forest and the reaction to military to that. From what I understand in my conversations with Jim Pendleton and John Burroughs and Charles Holt, is everybody involved in the sightings there were subjected to some kind of hypnotic and chemical regressions to gather more information about what they had seen, or maybe to inhibit their memories of what they had seen and what they had done. Holt is the only one that says he was not subjected to that sort of thing. John Burroughs said that the sightings actually preceded those 3 days in December of 1980, and there were subsequent sightings later on as well, suggesting an ongoing event there. But the point simply is, we know about part of it, but we don't know about all of it. And I think that we look at all of that sort of thing and the hints that we have been getting from people released from military service and people who are involved in some of these things, we're learning that there's a lot more going on in the realm of the UFO, the flying saucer, than we've been led to believe. And the government is keeping a lot of it close to the vest. And that may be some of the reasons that Bigelow Aerospace and Harry Reid designed this program to see what they could learn about UFOs. I know by looking at the Project Blue Book files, and go back to the Levelland case from November of 1957, where the object was seen close to the ground. It stalled cars. It filled radios with static. It dimmed headlights. It was seen all around the Levelland area for a period of 2 hours. I think there's witnesses at least 13 separate locations in the Levelland area, that the Air Force and NICAP, Don Kehoe specifically, got into an argument over the number of witnesses, while the real point is, who cares about the number of witnesses? What were the observations? What did we learn from that? What could we learn from that? And that all gets lost in the politics of the situation.
I take it, Kevin, and just to make it clear here for everybody, that you are a believer in alien visitation, that it's going on, it's happening, there's no question about it. Or do you still have some reservations?
I have reservations because we on the outside don't have the ultimate proof. We have some very good circumstantial evidence. We have some interesting direct evidence, meaning landing traces. We have the radar cases. We have photographs. We have those sorts of things. We have interesting witness testimonies, multiple witness testimonies. We have all of that sort of thing, but we don't have the ultimate piece that proves that we're being visited by aliens. I understand the distances of interstellar flight, and I say that interstellar flight to our technology, our science, is impossible. We can't do it. We can envision some, dare I say, Star Trekian science fiction ways of doing it, wormholes for those of you who like Stargate SG-1, the warp factor for Star Trek, ways of defeating the distances between stars, but we don't know how to do it yet. And so I look at that and I'm worried about that, and I can envision a future where we've defeated those problems, just as we defeated other problems. Well, man was never meant to fly, and now the sky is filled with metallic birds, that sort of thing. And so as our science progresses, we get better at that stuff. But I look at it from that point of view, and I say about Roswell, for example, I know of no terrestrial explanation that explains Roswell. Is that sufficient to take us to the extraterrestrial? And for some people it is. I would like one more piece, a little bit more. My bias is toward alien visitation, but I still have doubts in the back of my mind.
Now, I'm going to ask you about this particular thing because we are going to have a break in a moment. Books like, for example, from Nick Redfern, suggesting that Rendlesham, for example, even Roswell, all were due to some kind of government-based experimentation, not on visitations by ET or trips through stargates or whatever. So let's talk about that for a little bit and see whether there can be some kind of interesting but still terrestrial explanation with Kevin D. Randall, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. today. We have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces. It's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, by the way, listeners, Nick Redfern's going to be on the Paracast again in a few weeks. And we'll get into more of that later. With Kevin D. Randall, the question here is, Nick has suggested as an alternative explanation government experimentation, Roswell, Rendlesham, things like that. Kevin, what do you think?
I would align with him a little bit on Rendlesham Forest, because that has all the elements of a government experiment, including the chemical regressions, the hypnotic regressions, and some of the things that were done. Roswell, his explanation, to my way of thinking, he and I have debated this or discussed this. I don't accept his explanation for Roswell being some kind of a government experiment. When we were doing the massive investigation in Roswell, and I say we, I'm thinking of Don Schmidt and later Tom Carey as well, we spent a lot of time at White Sands Missile Range, for example, talking to them about their experimentation, what was going on. We looked into Operation Paperclip, which was the idea of bringing the German scientists from World War II to the United States to work on our rocketry program, which I have to say this, because it's historically important that the Germans got a lot of their rocketry information from Robert Goddard, who coincidentally had a laboratory in Roswell, New Mexico, and now they end up back in that area. But there was nothing in the records, no hints of anything in the records that would suggest some kind of an experiment gone awry, that we used Japanese prisoners of war in some kind of an experiment that went wrong. And I know Nick had done a lot of research into, I think it was Unit 738, which was a Japanese program during the Second World War, was experimentation that was maybe not as scientifically ethical as some other experimentation could be. And I really don't want to get into that, because we can look at the United States history where there's an awful lot of unethical scientific experimentation as well in the past. But the real thing is, I disagree with some of Nick's conclusions, and I'll also say that I've interviewed Richard Weaver, who was the officer in charge of the Roswell investigation in the 1990s for the Air Force, and he and I have discussed this, the Project Mogul explanation and these sorts of things, and we agree on a great number of aspects of the Project Mogul investigation. We disagree on the outcome, which I say it wasn't Project Mogul because the flight never flew, and he leans toward the idea that it was a Mogul flight that was found on the Brazel Ranch. So I think Nick and I are kind of in that same category with some of the things that he writes about, that I don't follow it all the way to his conclusions, and I'm sure there's things that I have written that he of mine that he does not follow all the way to my conclusions. And the best example would be, yeah, I lean toward the extraterrestrial for Roswell. He leans toward some kind of a governmental experimentation as the explanation for Roswell. Neither of which, by the way, embraces Project Mogul.
Okay, so if there is a crashed spaceship involved in Roswell, where is it? Is it in Warehouse 13? Or that warehouse like the one in Raiders of the Lost Ark where it's just filled with dust because nobody has the guts or the interest or the ability to see what happened?
I would say ability, but here's my thought on that. And I've talked about this in the past. That, and for the youngsters out there, I'll explain what these things are. If you took a VCR, a videotape, and a power pack and a monitor back to Merlin the Magician, a VCR being a videotape recorder, video cassette is this thing that's filled with magnetic tape. You take it back to Merlin the Magician, and you say, if you know the secrets, you can get pictures and sound, colored pictures and sound from this device. But to duplicate it, he has to understand two things. They're invisible, magnetism and electricity. And I think that the technology at Roswell was so far advanced that our technology, especially in 1947, was not able to decode any of it. We couldn't figure it out how it worked. We don't understand the technology. And I think that as they realized that the number of people involved in the research was reduced significantly, because if you get too many people involved in research, somebody's going to talk and the cat will get out of the bag. And I say that with all due respect to cats escaping from bags. But I think as you move forward, you keep people looking at it, you keep the research going, and you're saying, oh, our technology now is involved to this. We can look at this aspect of it and maybe make some headway on it. And if you do make some headway on it, then you bring in the necessary personnel, highly skilled personnel with the proper security clearances and the promises not to leak the information into the public arena. You bring those people in to research it and see how far you can go on it. So I don't think it's stored in the big Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse where nobody's looking at it. I think there is a very small cadre of people who would be looking at this thing to see where the research may take them, but the cadre is very, very small, and if they make a breakthrough, then the cadre will get much, much larger. So it's out there somewhere. According to the information we had, and I again, it would be Don Schmidt and Tom Carey and me developing this information, the materials were taken to Wright Field, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. But I think everybody knows it's there, so it's been moved. And the question is, where did they move it? And the Navy has a number of installations out in the Pacific Ocean which they control complete access to. The best way to keep people from sneaking up on your place is on an island. And so there may be an installation or installations out there on islands in the far reaches of the Pacific Ocean where the Navy can control, or the military, the government can control all access to it, and they conduct that, the research in those locations, and that's where it would be stored. That's my belief. On the other hand, if we want to go to Edgar Allan Poe, we can say, well, everybody knows it went to Wright Field, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, ergo it's not there anymore because they would have moved it. So the best thing to do is leave it right there at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base because everybody knows it's been moved.
Would it make sense to send it off to private industry? Because then you wouldn't have the oversight.
You would have to bring special people in to do it. I think that you would recruit the people to do that, and there would be perks and benefits of bringing the people in to do that. I think that you may provide hints or things to private industry that doesn't lead you to the extraterrestrial. That we have developed this thing, can you take it the next step? That sort of thing. Isn't there a cloaking device being developed at Stanford or somewhere where they've figured out a way of bending the light rays around this device so you can kind of not, it kind of disappears? And, you know, that might be a suggestion of some kind of alien technology as a genesis for the research, but I don't know. I just don't see anything that we have in today's world that we cannot trace the history of. So I think the research goes on, and you may feed some of it into private industry periodically, but I think it would be very, very limited to do it until you've reached a point where the industry is close to a breakthrough and they need just a little bit of push to get them into the right direction, then you might do it without telling them that this is something that we developed or something that we found in a crashed spacecraft.
Histories can be altered. You can go back and you could, as they say in show business, retcon that history and create one that did not previously exist. And by the way, we don't have Dr. Okun from Independence Day going down there and doing all the research. The question I have, and you're the military guy and you have the expertise, we have a secret that goes back to 1947. How do you keep the secret all these years with different administrations, different priorities, different personnel? How does it just go from one to the other to the next person?
Well, the best explanation is we didn't keep the secret. We're talking about it. Secret's out. But the other side, and again, in UFOs in the deep state, I explore this. I have said repeatedly that if I'm the president and I want answers to the UFO question, I bring in my DCI, Director of Central Intelligence, and I say to him, I want to know about the UFOs. And he says, well, I'm sorry, Mr. President, that's too highly classified. I can't let you in on it. My next response is, you're fired. Bring in your deputy. And I go down the line until I get the guy that'll get me into the research I want to see. The other side of that coin is, in UFOs in the deep state, I talked to Daniel Sheehan. He was invited by President-elect Carter to look into the UFO question for him. And what Daniel Sheehan told me was that Carter had talked to his DCI. At the time, it was George H.W. Bush, for those of you who are not familiar, chains of leaders of the Central Intelligence. Carter was talking to George Bush, and he said, you know, I'd like to know about these UFOs. And Bush said to him, well, you know, Mr. President, I would like to stay on as the Director of Central Intelligence after you're inaugurated. And Carter said, well, I've got my own guy coming in. And Bush's response was, well, I can't let you see the UFO stuff anyway, so you're not the president yet. You'll have to get your own guy to do it. And so here was a guy, the Director of Intelligence, talking to a guy who was about to be president, telling him, no, you can't have that stuff.
We have other stuff to present to you. More to come. Kevin, Randall, Gene, you're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.